You're listening to DraftKings Network.
I found HQ shirts, by the way. Sorry, I'll get out of the way in a minute. I found the other day in the moving process a manila folder filled with HQ shirts that were sent to us, I believe around the time that they were going out of business, because for the live event, we reached out to HQ Sports and we had Lauren Gambino, who was the host of HQ Sports at the time, come in and do like a live version of HQ Sports where we gave away, I don't even remember what it is that we gave away. So like I maintained like a relationship with like the producer, the whoever was that like scheduled it. And then they just send us from time to time like HQ trivia shirts. And I found a bag full of HQ trivia shirts the other day. I gave it to my parents. Yeah.
Okay. Fun story.
Yeah.
You like convert them into like I like using t-shirts as rags. T-shirts by far the best rags, old t-shirts.
Get out of here. What? Wait a minute.
I find rags are good rags.
Rags are the best.
The old t-shirt as a rag is such a dad move, Whittingham.
What? No.
That is very dad.
It's so disrespectful to the legacy of that shirt as well.
No, but I mean like
It is a dad move though, because I'm always just like, oh god, I need something to wipe up. Let me just grab this shirt. Like I'm always using
it. Like I have like a shirt that generally is no longer the color that it started. I wore it so much.
Well, you've been using it as a rag also.
Right. Well, okay. Well, now I use it as a rag and it'll like probably look like bleach very soon. But you know, what else am I going to do with this?
By far, like the best,
the best dryer of a car, by the way, is an old t-shirt. By far the best dryer of a car after you've washed it. I'm a big fan of an old t-shirt.
You do bring up a good point, though, which is people attaching sentimental value onto clothing that they don't wear anymore. I noticed this as I was packing up my apartment. I have a lot of t-shirts that I haven't worn in 10 years, but I look at it and I'm like, oh, this was the t-shirt I had when blah, blah, blah happened. Or, oh, this is a 2005 AFC championship shirt. I can't throw this away. And it's like, I'm not going to wear this. Why am I attaching sentimental value to this very stupid inanimate object?
Witty sees it and he goes, I just dropped spaghetti. Let me clean it up with this champion.
Exactly. By the way, best rag t-shirt are giveaways at sporting events. Most t-shirts that they give you at a sporting event, pretty bad. And so they have tremendous usage, like the amount of Mikasuki branded old t-shirts that I have that are used to clean things around my home is significant.
Do you have sentimental value for anything, or is everything just it serves an ulterior function at some point?
Not really. I'm not really someone who has like a sentimental value with stuff. I'm pretty quick to throw things in the bin when they're no longer required.
Those shirts shrink so much. I'm pretty sure I have like a white hot 07 shirt that's like a crop top at this point.
I usually give all my shirts to Goodwill or some charity. Except,
you're so nice, Roy. You're such a good person.
Except the Kevin Spacey hoodie that we got.
Oh, that one goes in the bin. Probably in the incinerator, honestly.
Yeah, that was the only one I didn't get to Goodwill.
I gave away 10 bags full of old clothing from my first couple jobs in New York, which were more business casual. And now I don't think I'm ever going to need business casual clothing ever again. I mean, maybe if I switch careers and I go back into like the corporate world, but we can wear whatever we want.
No, there's a strict business casual dress code. What are you talking about?
We're all in t-shirts right now. That's just casual, Woody. I mean, you, Mr. Fancy Lad, you wear tuxedos to work and suits. You came to dinner at that fancy restaurant in Miami in a nice blue suit with your hair all done up, everything.
His hair's done up now.
Done up.
How did you feel about that, by the way? Just like, what was your perspective on that once you got there and you saw that your dress code was slightly different than everyone else's? Were you like, all of these people, why didn't they dress up for this? Or you're like, maybe I overdressed a little.
Well, I definitely felt like I overdressed, but I will say I needed like an ally. I needed one person to be wearing a jacket, and Mike thankfully was wearing a blazer. So I felt good when I walked, okay, at least one person is wearing a jacket here. My honest feeling is that I like wearing suits. I like wearing shirts and ties. I find it to be fun. And so I've been in a pandemic in which I've done every Zoom call with a t-shirt or at best a polo on. And so I wanted to, you know, chuck a suit on. And so I did.
Well, I wore a jacket too, so you were.
You weren't there when I arrived. So, like, I needed, like, allies when I, particularly when I saw, like, the first person I saw was Stu Gatz, and he was, like, giving me all kinds of shit from the off. So I was like, all right, I'm off to a bad start here. I need some help. And thankfully, Mike came to my rescue.
Were dressed appropriately, Whittingham and Mike. I mean, not that Billy and Chris weren't. You guys were in nice outfits, but I think it was a fancy place. I think everyone dressed appropriately except Stu Gatz.
I wore
my cleanest pair of sneakers that day, I'll have you know.
Stu Gatz said it was his fanciest Grateful Dead hat, or his nicest one.
Did you guys look around for celebrities at that dinner? Because I was, because that's a noted place where people of note go, and I was you know what? It is. It's like a fancy place. I mean, look, you don't go to places with golden woolly mammoths,
24-karat gold woolly mammoth.
Yeah, you don't go to
12 million pounds.
Exactly. You don't go to places with golden woolly mammoths and not think there might be a chance that a famous person is here. So you look around, but it was very dimly lit. I couldn't see anyone of note that day.
Did you consider that we were at the table with people of note, Billy?
So here's the thing about that, right? I was having a conversation, I believe, with either my wife or sister while it was going on. I'm like, oh, look, this is where I am. Like, this is a fancy place. Like this, because I don't go to fancy places. I was like, this is a fancy place. Like, there may be, you know, fancy people here, whatever. But I was like, looking around, there, like, are there any famous people there? I'm like, looking around, like, no, there's not. It's disappointing.
Next to Tom Haberstroh and Kate Bagan.
Well, I was like, there's no famous people here, right? And then they texted me. They go, did you ever think that you guys are the famous people there that day? I go, absolutely not. I'm not a famous person. These aren't famous people. It's Tom and Kate and Amin. And like, they're just people. Where are the famous people? Where's Canelo Alvarez and his boat? And how did he get his boat there? Because I remember Dan telling us that he was at that restaurant and Canelo pulled up on his boat. And I'm like, where did this boat pull up? Because there's no water by here. I was trying to figure out the boat situation.
We were on the ocean. The ocean was like 10 feet away. Really.
No, but that's Miami Beach. You can't pull up a yacht on Miami Beach.
You park the yacht offshore and then take a smaller yacht to the shoreline if you're super rich.
Smart.
I don't know about that stuff.
I love the visual of a 101-foot yacht just pulling up to the beach and just Canelo jumping off it and then it carries on.
You'll never forget the 101, right? Because neither will I.
No. Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, I mean, because we talked to him about this. And I believe one of my hard-hitting questions was, is what do you get with the extra foot?
My favorite part was he's like, we're like, what does your boat have? It's like all the essentials. It has like a helicopter pad and multiple masseuses. And it's like anything I would need. And it's like none of those are needs. Like this goes to a want versus need situation. Yeah. None of those are needs.
I would say the needs on a boat are an engine that propels it forward and like some bottles of water. And that's about it.
Maybe an anchor.
Yeah, an anchor would be good. A sail, if required.
And maybe an oar.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Imagine,
all right.
Imagine an oar.
I've been trying to start this podcast for about 15 minutes.
Better than a good oar.
We're good. We started.
All right. This is the Mystery Crate. I'm Chris. I'm here with Jessica, Chris, Roy, and Billy. And we are going to reprise something we did, I think, like a month ago. We're going to bring back the fake-ass wheel. We brought some topics. I think we already kind of hit one, which is old T-shirts as rags. And we've also hit Canelo Alvarez's boat and my propensity to wearing suits. We've already covered some ground here, but let's go ahead and fire off the wheel and get going here. All right, Chris, where did it land?
Roy!
Roy! Wow!
Go fuck yourself. Why is that my name always show up first out of your mouth?
By the way, everyone would have said that. No matter who it landed on, which is 100%. If it landed on me, like, oh, of course it's me first. Let me dig into my first topic.
Hold on a second. It's a wheel. We're not deciding who's coming up. Like, the wheel decided, Roy.
Okay, I claim shenanigans on that. Anyway, this is my topic. So CNN is currently airing a late night television retrospective on, shows like The Tonight Show and Late Night and stuff like that. And I got to thinking, what is the closest late night show that we can compare the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz to? And throughout the entire history of late night, which is just about 60 years now, I would think that it would be Late Night with David Letterman during his NBC run. Because a lot of people thought that the show was edgy and a lot of new tricks in the late night game outside of, you know, when you compare it to The Tonight Show or stuff like that. I just thought that that show is basically the closest thing that we have to our show. Now, I don't know if you guys are young. I don't know if you guys are able to see like old clips of that show or anything like that, or even saw The Late Show when it was at CBS. But I think that that's just the closest comparison.
I don't know. I feel like you'd have to like find a show that does mix like some serious elements. Now, I don't have the cultural reference to know if The Late Show with David Letterman did. I would say like probably more like, I guess it's so inherently political, but like Late Night with Seth Meyers is probably like a reasonable comparison as well. But yeah, I would actually, like in terms of tone and like the shit that we try, I would say probably Late Night with Conan, because Conan just did so many crazy things when he was on at 12:37 on NBC. So yeah, I think like, I mean, there's a lot of overlap between what we do on a late night show.
I was thinking maybe the Jon Stewart show, because he had a lot of fake bits and like parody characters that would pop in and fake correspondence and things like that. And I feel like the Dan Le Batard show has all of these like sideshow characters that come in and do these play these different roles. And that kind of reminds me of the old Jon Stewart show.
I was going to go with the Tom Green show, but you guys have given like, more legitimate. Oh, Jessica.
What's the Tom Green?
I mean, that's more of a Jessica. Sketch show.
That's more of a sketch show, Jessica. Right?
I'm Googling it. Maybe I know what it is.
Do you have any reference for Tom Green, or is it just the Tom Green show?
Episode, September 94, Canada.
He's Canadian, yeah.
There's other countries in the world.
And we're allowed to watch their TV on our TV?
I mean, there's
you can't tell anyone you're doing it, but
what is the most most famous stunt from that show or personality from that show that I would probably know without knowing that it's from that show?
Tom Green.
Other than Tom Green,
do you know Drew Barrymore?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Weren't they married? They were either dating or married for some time. Yeah,
that's an odd couple.
He had a whole thing with Monica Lewinsky. He did like a special on cancer.
He would put his bum on things.
Good use of bum.
His bum.
Yeah. The bum bum song.
Like
you've
a
never
witty.
Heard?
You don't know the bum bum song?
Oh my lord.
See, here's the problem though. People get pissed whenever I say I don't know something and they're like, I'm 27 and I know what this is. And I'm not claiming that other 27-year-olds don't. I just don't. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and fake it.
No,
that would
to,
be
no,
terrible.
It's only when you make an age-based argument. No, but you make, like, the intonation is occasionally, I don't know this, and really people my age shouldn't.
You need to know everything.
It's only when you make a value judgment on other young people that I think people get upset about this.
I stand by my Speed take. My take was that Speed did not have the cultural capital to survive relevancy into the late 2000s. And that wasn't me saying that I don't know anything before the time I was born, which was how people interpreted it. Just Speed and Point Break. Like, those two things.
Unbelievable.
Roy, tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, you can go back and watch the movie. You know, there's that. And also...
No, but there's a finite amount of time we have on this planet. And is it really important a 27-year-old... to dedicate 2 hours to watching Speed? I get it. Like, you want to make an argument, you got to watch The Godfather before you go. Fair enough.
I've never watched it.
Well, you should.
Too long.
What? You've never seen The Godfather?
I'd watch Speed twice before I'd watch
The
Godfather.
I'm getting shit for not seeing Speed. Like, that. This is the problem. There are all movies that we haven't seen that were from a point in time before we were born. And some of them, you... watch because people talk about them a lot. The Godfather is one of them. Some of them you don't because people don't talk about them that much. Speed is one for me. That's all I said.
So you don't know the Tom Green show?
I don't know the Tom Green show is what I'm saying.
By the way, Speed is 116 minutes. That's quite a long film.
Wait, do you know what...
2 hours.
Do you know what TRL
movie?
Is?
Ooh. Yes, I know what TRL
oh,
is.
Oh, okay, good. Whew.
What is it?
It was the show on MTV from Times Square where they played the music videos and they did interviews and stuff.
Did it mean something to you, or you just know of it?
Mm. What is the acronym?
Total something live. Total. What is it?
The R is very important. You got to get this right.
Total radio? Reality?
No. Requests.
Request? Oh, because they requested music videos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, smart. I get it.
Wow, unbelievable.
Wait, were you a Backstreet Boy or an NSYNC person? Or was that too old for you?
I was both.
Yeah, that's fair.
I had a Justin Timberlake marionette doll in my room, though. They had them at... Wow. They were a McDonald's giveaway prize that I won once.
These two things don't coalesce. See,
you can say both.
Being a total request, like, I feel like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys were like dominant in the era of TRL.
Yeah.
These two things should go together.
What's your point? I know what TRL is.
Well, here's the thing.
No, but it doesn't mean anything to you. Like, you didn't know what the R stood for.
I was young enough to listen to the Backstreet Boys and not old enough to watch TRL. Like, those didn't overlap. Like, you could listen to the Backstreet Boys as a 5-year-old, but not be allowed to watch MTV, right?
I was also an NSYNC and Backstreet Boys person, but I was more Backstreet. Like, I feel like you're allowed to be fans of both, but there is one you lean. Like, you can't be 50-50.
Mm-hmm. I was neither.
Shocking revelation.
No shit.
Billy, what were you?
My sister was a Backstreet Boys fan, so I followed the Backstreet Boys just because through my childhood there was more Backstreet Boys playing because of the fact that she liked the Backstreet Boys over NSYNC. But it was a big deal when they were on TRL. They had this thing where they basically took over Times Square. Like, so many fans would come that they would stop traffic and they had to like shut it down, to the point where I guess MTV, I don't know if they were required to, I'm assuming they were, they had to add like pull down blinds on the outside of the studio because the studio faced Times Square. So they would shut it down to kind of crowd control people because so many people would show up for these boy bands and all these musicians that would come over the years.
TRL is the reason why I was like, I really wanted to go to Times Square, and Times Square seems awesome. But
worst
then you ask, you, and then you
Earth.
Ask any oh New Yorker, Lord. And they
oh
puncture your perspective.
Bad.
They think it's awful,
horrible.
And it's like, I really want to go to Times
yeah.
Square.
When people visit New York, this happened 2 weekends ago. My friend from kindergarten visited New York and told me she wanted to see Times Square. I was like, text me when you're done with that. We'll meet up. I've taken people to Times Square dozens of times since I moved here that have visited me. I refuse. I will
Why?
Not go back.
What's the big
it's
deal?
It's just the cesspool of New York City. It is what people from outside of New York City think New York City is, and it's the worst part of it.
But you know that's what South Beach is to Miami, right? Like, we work in the Times Square of Miami.
Yes, but would I choose to go there every day if it wasn't for work? Probably not.
Already taking shots.
She's not
South
saying
Beach.
Anything
she
crazy.
She hasn't even arrived to South Beach.
Thank you, Cody. I don't think I'm saying anything
everybody
crazy at
says,
all.
Everybody says that Times Square is like the touristy place where like there's people
please.
Like dressed as
people,
all these characters.
Yes, and they walk up to you and they try to get you to, like, they solicit money from you. Like, all the weird, like, buskers. I don't even know if we call them buskers in the States. Woody. I feel like I just used a Woodyism.
I don't
like,
even know what that means. Buster.
Okay, it's like a thing in the UK, like the people who do like the shows on the sidewalk for money. And if you take pictures of them, you have to pay them. That's what Times Square is. It's just a bunch of that. It's a ton of traffic. It's a little like scary too. There's a ton of
They're performing
of
a
there.
Service though.
No, they're like dressed like there's the naked cowboy guy. Like, what is that? We don't
We've
need
had
that.
Him on.
Society has moved past that, the need for a naked cowboy in Times Square.
That Elmo is creepy. Okay, Elmo. I don't want to be
yes,
taking
the
a
Elmo.
Picture with you. You're not a normal. You don't look like a normal Elmo. Yeah.
Elmo
like
serves a purpose.
Elmo.
To wrap this up, I would say check out the Conan bit that Triumph the Insult Comic Dog did in Times Square in terms of like making fun of the Elmos and all like the awfulness of Times Square. I would definitely recommend checking that out.
Some people were born to play Elmo in Times Square, you know? Like, they're just kind of serving what their purpose,
Jessica, purpose
you,
in life.
Jessica, you seem to change to something.
My boyfriend is, like, on the other side of the room, and he grew up in Manhattan and just texted me and said, this conversation is giving me anxiety. Like, New Yorkers fucking hate Times Square.
Wow.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
All right, let's spin the wheel again. Here we go.
How does your boyfriend feel about Sparrows?
Ah, Sparrows.
Ha ha ha.
Roy, since it was your first topic,
you Chris Cody.
Chris Cody.
Sit your ass back down.
All right, I have two topics. I need to spin the wheel of my two topics.
Ooh, mini wheel.
All right, there's two selections. It's best buffalo chicken dish, like of all the ways you can get buffalo chicken, the best and worst of that, or just pre-cutting meat. People who pre-cut their meat. Those are the two topics. Spin the wheel.
All right, here we go.
Is there a third topic?
What a third topic.
You're such an anarchist. He said he had two topics in the mini wheel. Why did you ask for a third?
Well, neither of those two were really.
We'll see.
Pre-cut.
People who pre-cut their meat.
Oh, is that what it landed on? All right.
Here we go.
I texted you guys last night and I said, what kind of topics will these be? Well, like, what if I don't know what they are? And the fucking topic is people.
I mean, you never seen pre-cut salami?
What does this mean?
All right, I'm talking about when you get a dish, like you get a chicken dish or anything, and then you have to pre-cut the chicken completely out as opposed to taking one bite at a time. Like cut, bite, cut, bite.
What are you talking
about? Now look, okay, here it is. My wife, let's say she orders chicken parmesan with spaghetti. The chicken parmesan comes, she pre-cuts all her meat. I've made fun of her for years for this. And then I realized like a month ago, through Sarah Spain, Charles Barkley does the same exact thing. There are people out there that pre-cut everything. And what I'm saying is...
Wait, are you talking about at a restaurant?
Yes, at a restaurant or at your house, just a meal.
So just cutting all of the food before you start to eat it.
Pre-cutting all your meat.
Pre-cutting.
Yes.
That is pre-cutting.
And I'm telling you, there are two acceptable things you're allowed to pre-cut your meat for. A salad and a rice bowl. Okay, those are the two times that it is acceptable to pre-cut something. If you just have, like if you're at Pollo Tropical and you have the chicken breast meal, if you pre-cut all your chicken, you're a monster. Okay, you're only allowed to pre-cut your meat before when you're eating a salad and you know you get a piece of chicken on top of a salad, pre-cut away. And in a rice bowl, like at Chipotle, even though they cut that for you. Then you can pre-cut your meat.
Is she pre-cutting it and then eating it with the pasta?
Yeah, she like pre-cuts the entire chicken parmesan and then she just has it and then she'll like mix it up and she has her like chicken. It's like, I don't like that. Your thoughts. Jessica, you seem to have thoughts on this.
I mean, this is absurd. Come back to me.
You're a pre-cutter.
You're a pre-cutter?
Okay, I'm not a pre-cutter because this is a little horrifying. I think I'm about to get exposed. I don't use knives.
What? Billy? See what kind of stuff we get from my
what
topic,
do you
Billy?
Cut with
You're
spoons?
Welcome.
Why, Billy? What am I doing?
If I'm at a restaurant and I'm at a restaurant with John Skipper or, you know, people we work with, I will do the appropriate etiquette of cut it, eat it, whatever. But if I'm at a restaurant with just like my family or my friends, I'm just like ripping that baby apart with my teeth. I'm getting in there. I don't
what?
Get
it.
Wait, so you get an 18-ounce ribeye on a plate and you pick it up with your fork. That is absurd.
I mean, this is why we were given teeth, right? Just to
no, hell yeah, Jesse.
That's also why we were given utensils.
Knives are so cumbersome; like it's such a waste of time.
Yes,
waste of time
and dangerous.
Jessica, did your descendants go through evolution, or are you a cavewoman?
What, Billy?
Forks? Yeah.
Well, yeah, you use the fork, you stab the middle of the piece of meat, and then you.
Yes.
Oh, are you Fred Flintstone? You know Fred Flintstone, right?
A cave girl.
Fred who?
No.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
Bit. Yeah, that's a bit. I saw that.
Everyone's so mad at me already.
I'm pretty pissed off right now.
Look at that.
I can't believe this.
Look at that.
Chris is pleased with how this went off the ground.
I mean,
topic of the day.
Wait, but Chris, what's worse? You'd rather your wife just use no knife than pre-cut her meat?
I would rather her do what you do. Than it just annoys the shit out of me when it's like she's 6 years old. She's like pre-cutting every bite. It's like that's what I do for my daughter. It's like just be an adult and cut. I mean, unless you're gonna do it your way. I love your way, Jessica. I wish we were at that restaurant a few weeks ago and you just got comfortable and like, hey, Skip.
Middle of the sausage.
Digging through that parrillada like that. Oh, fantastic.
So, do you, Chris, do leftovers?
Yeah.
If you're going to do leftovers, are you fine with cutting it into small pieces before you heat it up?
That's a great note. In a microwave, you'd want to cut it up. If you're going to reheat something, I'm okay for microwave purposes it will heat faster and you don't have to use as much time, then you can pre-cut. But like first time eating it, no pre-cutting.
The only argument on behalf of this would be that if you're eating like a chicken parmesan, for instance, you want to evenly distribute the chicken over the course of the entire pasta. I will do this, for instance, when you know my mom will make like a Colombian meal, rice and beans, and you throw some chicharrones in there. And I want to make sure that every bite has at least a bit of chicharron in there. And so I will pre-cut the chicharron so that it's evenly distributed throughout the meal. So that I understand. But just like you're eating a steak and you're going to cut all the bits up before you eat the steak, that's
Monster.
Ridiculous.
Monster.
That is the behavior of children.
I do both. You can't do both. You can't sometimes say, you know what, I want to kind of cut this up and sometimes not cut it up. Like sometimes, for example, I'll go to this place, this Cuban restaurant called La Carreta for breakfast, right? And I'll get a steak and eggs breakfast. So it'll be a steak, eggs, and then it'll be like this little hash brown, right? And sometimes
you pre-cut your meat, don't you? This is where we're
listen,
headed.
Listen, let me tell you why. This is what I do. I cut that
Monster.
Up and then I try. No, listen to me. You're going to like this. I make little mini sandwiches on my forks where I get the meat, egg and a piece of hash brown,
ooh,
and then I bite it, and
yeah.
all three
That's
things
quality.
Are on one yeah. fork bite, so it's delicious. But sometimes I have to cut it up in advance to kind of ration it out and figure out, all right, this is how many eggs I need to save, this is how much of the mm-hmm. hash brown I need to save.
Love a combo bite. Love a combo bite. What's your guys' favorite combo of random food side items? You guys like mashed potatoes and corn? That's a good one.
I actually I have an admission to make here.
Oh, Christ.
Mashed potatoes.
I don't like to eat my food together. So, if, for example, if
you
get
all
like,
your fries first?
Yeah, yes.
Okay,
so,
Tony Shalhoub.
What? So, yeah, so I will, like, if I get, like, you know, steak, rice, and mashed
Tony
potatoes,
Shalhoub.
I will eat the rice, then I'll eat the mashed potatoes, then I will eat the steak.
The mashed potatoes are there to complement
there is no,
the steak.
There is no meshing of the foods as I'm eating them. I eat them one at a time.
I can't look at you.
How do you decide what the order is going to be or varies?
It's whatever I'm feeling that day. I don't know. I mean, generally, you know, you go for like, you start with the salad. That's generally like, you know, the beginning course. Then you kind of probably move into the entree and then maybe eat one of the sides either before or after. But yeah, that like these happen in orders.
You're probably one of those monsters that covers all his fries with ketchup, right? You're not a
dipper.
Oh,
No. I asked for like the other day I went to the ale house and asked for an extra plate so I can put the ketchup on the plate so that I can dip. I find that to be the behavior of just awful people. Just like just pouring ketchup. Like I was looking for a like I don't want to sound like oh like you know pretentious and go like uncultured swine, but like that's kind of what's in my head. Like,
do you touch
you
your french fries with your fingers?
Of course.
But like certain Europeans will only use a knife and fork for finger foods also. Like my sister is married to a non-American and he uses a knife and fork for literally every bite of food on his plate.
No, I mean, no. Come on, let's get serious.
How does he feel about you eating your meat like an animal?
He's disgusted by it. Everyone in my family is like, we've talked about this for years. And every time I visit my sister abroad, they're like, you're disgusting. I'm like, yeah.
Wait, so this is just a you thing? This isn't like something that you inherited through your family? Like, this is just you behavior.
I'm just lazy. I don't want to use a knife if I don't have to. I'll use the side of my fork.
But this isn't lazy. This is less efficient.
I disagree.
Like the gnawing through, like to really get a clean bite through a piece of flesh is like it takes some work. And you also end up with an uneven bite at the end of it. Like when you eat a steak, you kind of like figure it out by quadrants. All right. Like, you know, like you kind of take one bit at a time.
Yeah, we all
bite into fat.
Yeah, right. It's right. You evenly distribute the fat throughout your bite. Like, do you just eat like a whole chunk of fat and then get into the rest of it? Like,
I mean, it just really depends.
Harder.
It depends, Woody. It depends on the type of meat, the cut of meat, where I am. Like, I will use a knife if I'm in a public place where people are watching me. But if I'm just, you know, at a table with my friends and family, like, I'll just use my fingers, kind of just get in there with my teeth. It's like when I pick apart a rotisserie chicken. I don't want to use a knife for that. Get in there with my fists.
What?
Phrasing.
Wait, I'm with her.
You just grab a rotisserie chicken and bite into it?
I am with her. I am with her.
I assume that you would be.
That chicken down by hand.
What do you do at Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's a great question. That
drumstick,
is a great question.
Always with the hands.
Oh, hell yeah, Jeff.
Just
walk
up and rip it off the bird and just this is mine.
Dibs.
Are you allowed at like the grown-up table at Thanksgiving, or are they like, we need you to babysit? And that's kind of what they tell you because they know it's just going to be a mess at the big table.
You just give me a separate room.
That is obscene. Next.
So you don't want to.
That was a topic, by the way, you said you weren't sure you'd be prepared for.
Oh, right, yeah, right. You weren't prepared to like dig into your eating steak habits. You put in the chat, your boyfriend is dying. What gave him more anxiety? You eating this way or Times Square?
Lee, come here for a second.
All right.
I'll ask him.
Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
What gave you more anxiety, me talking about my eating habits or Times Square?
This is a trap.
It's a trap. I have a really terrible fork and knife thing, too.
Yeah. it's like complete heathen behavior.
Heathen. Heathen is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's complete heathen behavior.
Yeah, you're going to pay for that later, though, Lee.
Wait, can I ask Lee a question? He can't hear us, right?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, it's Billy. I have a question for you. So based on these behaviors that have been described, can you honestly tell us and pretend that Jessica's not there, that you've ever been embarrassed by this behavior because she's done this at a family gathering of yours or something where she felt a little too comfortable?
Part of this is like the realities of sort of like living together during a pandemic. Like, she is a part of my family at this point, so she got a little too comfortable a little bit too quickly. We're ripping apart steak and rotisserie chicken at the dinner table a year ago. So I just, at this point, I don't even notice it. But yeah, absolutely.
But you don't do this, right? When you say we, you mean she's the one doing this. Like, you don't show up at like your family gatherings and do this now also, correct?
It's okay if you do, Lee. It's cool, yes, man.
No, there's like a lifetime of like using a fork and knife, and you know, Jessica's not influenced my behavior in any way. Let's just say that. Yeah,
so you eat like a proper human being. All right, very good.
I'm comfortable with all the utensils. Yes,
all of the utensils.
But also, whoa, his nickname is Squilliam T. Fancy Son from SpongeBob. He's basically Chris Whittingham. Like, ooh, he's a fancy boy also. So,
oh, well, he used the word heathen earlier, so, and I'm jealous that he used the correct vocabulary there.
I just a moment. I don't think that saying someone's a fancy boy because he uses utensils as utensils is fair.
We've had that conversation like 50 times.
He's using a knife and she's doing the fancy lad songs.
Ooh, how fancy. Your spoon with
use,
or your,
you use utensils.
I'm like, Jessica, you don't have to bring the soundboard to dinner. Like, you don't have to play the song.
The wheel spun like 7 minutes ago. Should I play it again or?
I mean, it didn't move. What did it land on?
I think it was the second meat question.
No, it probably was.
Chris, where did it land?
Witty!
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I was on my Instagram the other day, and it really felt like a friend of mine went to the first proper wedding that has happened in about 14 months. Because of the pandemic, at the very least, there's considerations of, you know, people's concerns about COVID-19, about being indoors versus outdoors. And I got to tell you, weddings are the most underrated party that happens for guests. Now, I imagine I've not gotten married myself, but for guests, it is the most fun of the parties, I would say. I love a wedding. If you want to invite me to your wedding, I will go. You can charge me admission to your wedding.
You're gonna
and
get
I will
invited
go.
Now. You're gonna get invited now to random listeners' weddings.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'll go. I'll go. If I got a weekend free, I don't have very many weekends free anymore. But if I have a weekend free, I will go to your wedding. I absolutely love a wedding.
The only thing I can disagree with, you're right, is that they're not underrated. Everybody loves a wedding. That's the only thing I would argue with, is that I don't think they're underrated.
I've met some people, it's like, oh, you got to get all dressed up, and you got to get a gift, and you got to, like it's a bit more of an involved experience than showing up to a house party or going out on a Friday night. You got to, you know, put on, you know, your nicest dress, you got to put on a suit, you got to get all dressed up. Those are all the, like, attributes for me of a good party. Like, you know, showing up to a party in a suit, incredible. So, I will go to anyone's wedding, and I just want to, I will assess the feelings of the group on your thoughts on weddings.
I have a number of follow-ups. The first of which is, which part of the wedding do you like the most? Like, is it the love? Because it seems to me like you just like to get dressed up, and that's why you like weddings, because for the most part, they're formal and you get to dress up for them.
No, man. So we all went, well, I guess Jessica didn't, but we all went to Dan's wedding. It was an outdoor scene.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, it was an outdoor scene, and Pablo was actually the officiant on that day, and like there was a sting in my eye towards the end of his speech. There was a sting in my eye towards the end of the ceremony.
You cried at Dan's wedding?
I did, yeah. Like I had, like, I got a little emotional. And I,
yo,
I
love... chicken thighs.
What?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm not having.
You came back after calling the soccer game.
That's right. I did leave in the middle of the wedding to go work. I did do that, but I was there for the ceremony, and it was great. Now I was later told that the dance floor wasn't exactly popping that night, which so it made me feel better about.
There was no dance floor.
I know exactly. Well, I think, and you know, I
that
I
was like the oddest thing about dance.
It was like a courtyard.
There was like a courtyard with a big fountain in it, but there was no one.
And
really
he was playing like there was no dance music. But there was no Cupid Shuffle at this wedding. Which, by the way, you haven't had a wedding unless the Cupid Shuffle is played. Let's
okay,
be real.
Okay, wait a minute. So this takes me straight into my next follow up, which is, what are you like at a wedding? You're out there doing the Cupid Shuffle.
Yes. Yeah, I love a Cupid Shuffle. Any dance where I don't have to improvise. I just get told what to do. Huge fan of.
Do you do the wobble?
Like a slide, huh?
I love a wobble.
I love a wobble.
Love a wobble.
Mm-hmm. Not better than a good wobble.
Roy, you wobble?
No, I don't.
What? I think we get enough bourbons in Roy. He'll start wobbling 100%.
I dance with my wife, and that's about it.
I think to answer Billy's original question, though, the best part of a wedding, cocktail hour. The bar, hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. And like the little like pigs in a blanket, little slider
it's
action.
It's great food. It's great drinking. It's dancing. It's a little bit of love. It's meeting people that you otherwise wouldn't.
It's still early in the night, like, so you're still feeling
right,
good.
Exactly.
You got a lot
ahead
of you.
You get to probably see a side of people that you haven't before, like maybe some family members, some distant friends. You know, like, for example, at Dan's wedding, I hung out a lot with Cortez. I've not gotten to see that side of Cortez before. It was fun. I had a nice time. And then afterwards, we broke down. There was an after party. We went to a bar in Coral Gables. That was a nice time from start to finish. If I didn't have to go work and call a Mexican friendly, it would have been one of the greatest nights of my life.
I was just going to say, it sounds like Dan's wedding was one of the best nights of your life.
I had so much fun. I fucking love a wedding. Invite me to your wedding. I'll go.
My only take on this, Woody, is that a wedding can be a fun night, but not weddings are all a fun night. It depends on if it's an open bar, if they're serving liquor, if it's wine and beer only, if they have a good band.
Shots or no shots.
Exactly. It can be a great night. It can be the most fun you'll have in months, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
A sad wedding stinks. A wedding that you're this is just not that fun. There's three people on the dance floor.
I've never been to one. I've never been to a bad wedding. I don't know what constitutes a bad wedding or what, you know, what.
No,
like,
open
what,
bar. No open
no
bar.
No open bar. Okay.
Bad wedding. Yeah.
Beer and wine only. Yeah. I mean, I went to a beer and wine only wedding a couple of years ago. It's more common in the South, I think. And I just brought a bottle of Tito's in a water bottle like
hell
I was
yeah.
in college and just drank it in the bathroom because I, like, there was no other way to
I like
do
Jess.
It.
I knew I liked Jess, but this episode is sealing the deal. I like Jess.
In the bathroom. Howdy.
Yeah, I had to drink it. Like, I was taking shots of vodka out of a water bottle, like a Dasani bottle in the bathroom.
Hell yeah. Dasani, worst water.
What else am I going to do? Drink 8 glasses of Chardonnay? Come on, that sounds disgusting.
But since it's in a water bottle, you could just drink it in, like, you know, around people.
Yeah, but I think
who has a Dasani random?
Smelled it. Yeah, they would have smelled it. They would have been like, where did you get this bottle of water? We're all drinking out of glassware, like stemware. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you take the risk.
There was also a situation where, like, a younger person came up to me and asked for a sip of my beverage because they thought it was just, like, soda. And I was like, no, I have a sore throat. Like,
or maybe
happens.
They thought they knew you were the plug and they couldn't get drinks anywhere else. And they're like, hey, this girl is drinking water out of a water bottle. She's drinking alcohol out of a bottle. Water in the bathroom.
Easy for you to say.
She'll give me alcohol.
Right.
That's true. I probably at that point was giving off vibes that I was drunk.
Okay, general feeling of the group. Roy, how do you feel about a wedding?
If I'm invited, sure, I'll show up.
to be fair, that's Roy's 10 out of 10. That's probably like as excited as Roy gets about anything.
Nah, that was not even close to a 10. That was more like a 2.
Chris, Jessica, invited, Billy, thoughts on weddings?
I feel like we've given some thoughts already, but
if it's people I like and it's in a like good spot and it's, you know, open bar, yes, I'm down. I love dancing on a wedding dance floor.
Take it or leave. Like, some are very involved. Like, some weddings, you'll see, like, oh, this ceremony is going to start at this time, and then the reception is to follow, like, 4 hours later. And it's like, how much of my day is this going to take up? Like, I'm happy for you guys. I love the idea of love. I'm sure this will be a great time. Do I actually need to be there to celebrate this love with you?
I love love. I just love love.
Yeah. Big love guy. I'm pro love.
Stanica pro funds love. On that night.
It's landed on Jessica. Jessica, what do we got?
I also had two topics. I think we need to spin the wheel.
Oh, we need
again.
A mini wheel?
Ooh, mini wheel.
Can't be as good as mine. Can't be as good as mine.
All right, what's on the mini wheel? What's on the mini wheel?
So the mini wheel is this week. If you follow me on social media, I have been posting nonstop about the fact that I had to move out of my apartment. I was going to do like a horrible things you would rather do than move. See how bad we can get. And the other one was talking about men wearing thigh length shorts, like mid thigh length shorts this summer, and that being a fashion trend that I support. So those are the two things.
All right, here we go. Where did it land, Jessica?
We're going to talk about moving. You guys seemed like you really wanted to talk about that.
No,
you
it's all, not about what we all... seem. It's about where it landed. Where did it land?
It landed on that. And then you guys all were like excited about it when I said it out loud. So I'll start. And I'm not sure about this because I've never done this. But I think I would rather get a colonoscopy than move.
Oof. Well, first off, let's start by discussing, are colonoscopies actually that bad?
I've heard that they are.
Because you're not awake for them.
No, you're in twilight.
That actually sounds kind of fun.
Colonoscopies.
No, not the colonoscopy part, the being in twilight part. Just like you're just gone.
Right now.
Okay, I don't think colonoscopies are that bad. Call me. Now the prep is, cuz don't you have to drink a liquid for 24 hours in order to to get ready for one? That's probably the bad bit. And being hungry, bad. But the actual getting a colonoscopy itself, it's probably not that bad.
I'm guessing.
Anything where you're under anesthetic can't be that bad.
Would you rather move or paint the interior of your house? Because I did that, and that's the worst thing. I think I might actually rather move 100%. Than do that. But
I would rather paint. I would
hated painting the inside.
Painting
of my
is
house.
So fucking involved, man. Oh my god.
But so is moving.
No, moving is too. Those are both really bad.
But there's like a painting requires precision. Right? The worst part of painting is you go up the wall and you get a dab of paint on the roof you
got to
get your wet rag, a t-shirt from the 2005 ALCS, and you dab the roof to get that little bit of paint
off.
It just slows you down.
I still have touch-ups I need to do from when I painted like a year and a half ago just because I hate doing it.
Do you have like that pink thing that you scrape on the wall so like to fill in where like a painting once was?
Yeah, and painter's tape doesn't really work that well. You like line that thing up and then you paint all over it and then you pull the thing off and there's some little like spots where it got through. It's like
I'm with you though. I would much rather move than paint the interior of my house.
I think I'd rather paint. Billy, do you have anything terrible you'd rather do? Have a baby?
Oh my god, so mean. What was the option? Something bad other than moving?
Like, what's the worst thing you can think of that you'd rather do than move?
Well, I mean, in this scenario, you're moving into a house that doesn't require any painting then, right? Because when you're
I'm paying someone to paint the inside of my house. Like, I'd rather spend $1,500 than go through the like month process of painting this entire hellhole.
Look at you with the big wallet over here.
I mean, I'm just, you know. I'll take
there are certain things, though, that are really expensive that after you have to do them yourself, you realize why they're really expensive. One of those things is moving. The last time I moved in New York, I hired movers, and it was outrageously expensive, but I did not lift a finger. And doing it this time by myself with help from, like, my boyfriend and his dad and some
of my
friends.
You're paying next time.
I'm paying next time. It was so hard.
And it's going to take you forever to get organized once you get out to the new place. Like the moving, because you moved out and now when you get somewhere, you got to move in again. So it's just like, you got to do it twice.
Lost in all of that was Witty just saying, I don't think it's that hard.
I think it's that hard.
Really?
I really don't. Like, you know, I've.
He loves a colonoscopy, thinks moving's easy.
I helped move my brother. My dad and I knocked it out.
Being a helper is different though.
No. We did it. My brother. Now I love my brother, Matt, but he did do what in Spanish we'd call being a conchudo, which is like taking advantage of somebody else. So my brother organized for a moving day and then went to work. He didn't take the day off from
play.
Work.
Heady
so
play,
my dad,
Matt.
My
Heady
dad,
play.
My dad, and I moved all his shit.
You guys are suckers.
And he's got a couch that like fucking needed like it needed surgery in order to get like out of like this tiny doorway. It was awful. But
Apple.
My dad and I did it. It took us like 10 hours, and it was fine. Like
yeah,
it was
10 hours.
It was a couple of car trips. You put all this
shit.
We
just did something we fucking hated for 10 hours, and it was fine. Like, you just sound crazy right now, Woody.
It's a day, you know? It's a day. Whatever. Like, your back hurts a little bit. You put a brace on. You pre-leave. Love a pre-leave, by the way. And you knock it out. I don't think it's that hard.
Well, I disagree for a number of reasons. This was also a complicated move because I had to put some stuff in storage, some stuff at my boyfriend's apartment, and then pack things to ship to Miami to an apartment that I don't actually have yet. So it was logistically challenging. So I probably couldn't have hired movers because there's too many destinations where things were going. But I don't know. I just disagree with doing something shitty for 10 hours. Like, man, it's not that bad. It's just a day.
It's one of the things you got to do in life, you know? You knock it out and then it's over.
But that doesn't mean we can't discuss them and like enjoy them.
Oh, of course,
of
course. But you're like comparing, like you're basically saying it's the worst thing in the world. And all I'm saying is it's like it's a day. Like
not
every day.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Okay, but
I never said that.
The genesis of
there are things I'd rather.
No, but the genesis of the question is you'd rather have something shoved up your ass than move for a day.
Which you also said wasn't that bad.
No, that just I mean, that's a good Witty has determined the worst thing in the world right now is painting. Just so.
Yes,
on the same page.
100%. It is painting. Fuck painting.
Wow.
Well, I'll spin the wheel again. But actually, you know what? To spice this up a bit,
oh,
Chris, your second topic.
Wow.
Jess, your second topic, or Billy's topic. I'll leave it in the hands of Roy. Roy, where did it land?
Yeah, it landed on Jess's second topic.
Oh, wow. Thigh length shorts.
Thighs out.
Sports.
I probably should change my mind on that.
Do I have to present this topic? Okay, I will. So
no, it's Billy's turn. Billy, go.
I think my topic today is going to be last minute trips.
Okay.
Because before we started recording, I don't know if any of that was included, but before we started recording, a discussion was had about a potential last minute trip to Europe.
Yeah.
Across the world on like 2 days' notice. And I'm one who I will pack at the last minute for road trips to like Orlando or wherever it is. But for something that's far off, I don't think I could plan an intercontinental trip on 2 days' notice.
Yeah. So because we didn't include that bit, what happened now, we don't know. I might be en route to Portugal when this episode is released. Mike and I have been circling a trip to Portugal ever since Chelsea qualified for the Champions League and the host city was moved from Istanbul to Porto. So we're like, you know, maybe we'll go. We try to get it through our podcast, our Chelsea podcast, Chelsea Mic'd Up, wherever you find your podcast. You know, that didn't quite work out. And Mike texts me on the Wednesday before a Saturday game in Portugal. Hey, someone I know reached out to me saying I could get tickets. And all of a sudden, it's like, hang on a second. Now we've got to consider this. Now, I've got some work assignments as well that I've got to kind of rearrange. That would be a pain in the ass. And I was just kind of thinking, but also, I could go to the Champions League final. Like, that could be like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it, and I can do it both financially, and I've got the free time in theory, and I wouldn't be that bothered about the planning of it. All I need is a flight, a place to stay, and tickets to the game, and the rest of it can figure itself out.
Daddy Warbucks over here.
Those are all the major things though that need to figure themselves
like,
out.
Yeah,
like as soon
I've
as this recording is over,
I've got like two of the three of them knocked out.
Here's a question though. In Europe right now, do you know what the COVID restrictions are? Like, will you need to get a test before you come back to the States?
I don't believe so because I'm fully vaccinated. I think that would help on the way there as well. And I think it's only like for, you know, essential travel, which I host a Chelsea podcast. I can kind of consider this a work trip, although it's not really. But I can consider it a work trip. Maybe I should reveal it on a podcast that's listened
Bleep
to by
this
thousands
out.
Of
the
people.
FBI is listening.
But yeah, I mean, logistically, it can be done. The question is, do I want to? And I think Billy brings up an excellent point, which is this is quite a lot to figure out in a short period of time.
Now, let me ask you something. If you were invited to a wedding in Portugal the same weekend, Would you be able to kind of put everything together?
Yeah, no, I figured I'd ask for the people inviting me to set me up with a Marriott hotel, and I'm there. Put my suit in a suitcase. Hell, I'll wear the suit on my back. All I need is that one suit for the entire time that I'm there, and then I'll fly home.
Whitty, what do you prefer at a wedding? The predetermined, like, chicken or steak, or like a buffet style?
I think I'd go for a buffet. Now, it does kind of, it's not as classy at that point. I think a classier wedding gives you the two choices, and you get handed a plate of served food, and you just unravel your utensils.
I feel like it takes longer when you have the buffet to get to the fun stuff of the wedding. While the food's probably better with the buffet, I'd rather just do the chicken or steak thing, get it over with so we can get to the bar and the dance
floor. There might be some sides in there that I wouldn't go for. Like, I feel like the buffet offers you more side choices. You can kind of as well examine a cut of meat and go, is this really well done or really rare? And you can kind of figure out from in there. So I would say there's
more
benefits
to a buffet.
But you're
not there for the food, Woody. But you're not there for the food.
No, but
it's a
nice party. You have a nice meal when you're at a wedding. That's one of the accents. Yeah.
I think the only problem with the buffet style is that I will fuck up a buffet and I will overeat and then
yes.
I won't be able to drink as much or dance as much because I will just be sitting there having had like 7 servings of whatever whatever side I just devoured.
Yep.
The pre-portioned meals, you can't overeat.
I know we don't do episode titles for Mystery Crate. We only give them numbers, but I will fuck up a buffet. It would be up there for episode titles of this.
Who do you think they'd attribute that to, though?
I think we know where.
Yeah, we know.
He said he'd fuck up a bird yesterday.
That is true.
I would fuck up a rotisserie chicken, which is technically a bird.
What kind of bird do you think that you could like take? Like,
I wouldn't want to fight a bird. Like if people came after me, like for, you know, about attacking a bird. In this scenario, the bird is attacking me, and I'm just saying if I had to defend myself, I'll fuck up a bird.
How big a bird do you think?
I mean, obviously not a cassowary, because like Ron's told us, they have like these like claws that like come out and like that. That I wouldn't want to mess around with, but like. A flamingo? Are you kidding me? This flamingo comes at me, I'm gonna like karate chop kick that thing.
Hiya.
I got dive bombed by a goose once when I was little and it was terrifying. I don't think any of us could beat up a goose.
You know the expression, what's good for the goose is good for the gander?
That's right.
You've never heard that expression?
I have not, but continue.
What, did you find out that the gander is the female version of the goose?
Incorrect. The gander is the male version of the goose, I believe. And the goose is the female version. So I always thought that this was like a flock type thing. So like, I thought it was like, if it's good for one, it's good for all. Like if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander and a bunch of geese or gander, but it's not. One is male and one is female. Goose, gander.
I thought gander was like a group of geese.
Same.
But it's a flock actually. Yeah. I should have known that.
You idiot.
Why should you though? Why should you have known that? Like, I don't want you to feel bad about this or like be hard on yourself. There's no need for you to have known what the plural of like a group of geese is.
I mean, like what's good for the goose is good for the gander is a fairly common colloquialism. So I feel like I should have known what the meaning therein were.
Bruce Whittingham is a fancy lad.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.